It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson, and I think this is one of the most jam-packed pieces of real estate in radio every morning. Steve, what do you think?
I look at it each day, and I had the very same thought. It's like, how are we going to fit all this in?
Well, we're going to go to work on it. So I'm Kim Munson, and we're going to have some great conversations today. Natalie Minton will be calling in regarding exposing the Building a Better Colorado hoax. And we have in studio with me, this is going to be an interesting conversation, Chad Fortham. You are the top guy at Colorado Farm Bureau.
Good morning.
It's great
Thanks
to have you here. And Farm Bureau, I have a great affinity for that. My grandmother was a secretary for the Farm Bureau in one of the counties back in Kansas where I come from. So you guys do great work. I love the rural lifestyle. It feeds my soul.
I love that. Farm Bureau is all across the nation. We have members in every county, in every state, across this great country of ours. So
great to have you here.
Good organization to be a part of.
And you and I, we actually are going to have a conversation. You are for Proposition DD.
Yes, I am.
And I've come out against that. So we're going to have a civil conversation about that.
Sounds great.
It's great to have
Looking
you here.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. And then Michelle Smith, she's on the, she's on the board, you said, of Farm Bureau, and she's also on the board of Vital for Colorado, and we are going to be talking about hydrocarbons and how they make your life better. And Steve, I know yesterday's headline that they're going after your gas range. That really torqued you, right?
It did. You know, one of the few joys in life, and you know, I guess I'm kind of the unusual, the husband who likes to cook and does most of the cooking. It's like, I like my gas stovetop.
Well, they're coming after it. First it was your light bulbs. Then it was how you flush your toilet. Now it's your gas range.
I'm going to flush my gas range, I guess.
So as we look at these issues, we break them down as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Surveys show that Americans still like freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And we continue to see this through regulations, the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, and data. And so that is why we've got to get our brains around these issues so that we can continue to move these things towards freedom. And Steve, thank you to you, to Zach, Keith, Patty, and Charlie for keeping this train on the track. And thank you to all you listeners. You're treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose today. Go out, strive for excellence, and take care of your heart, soul, mind, and body. My voter's guide is out. Go to kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And I'm a no on CC. I'm a no on DD. And I give you reasons why in the spirit of the Federalist Papers. And really pleased to have you in here, Chad, so that we can discuss that. And my website is kimmunson.com. Okay. Let's see here. Where are we at? Steve, here we go. Our inspiration. And Chad, since you were in studio, I went for farming quotes today.
Nice.
And this is a guy named Aldo Leopold, and it was a Sand County Almanac. And he said, there are two spiritual dangers in not owning a farm. One is the danger of supposing that breakfast comes from the grocery, and the other that heat comes from the furnace.
It's pretty good.
And our funnies for today. Steve, are you ready? Okay. Why are environmentalists bad at playing cards? Because they like to avoid the flush. Number two, what is the difference between a person and a tree? One is illegal to hit with an axe. And number three, how do Boulder...
Which one is illegal?
That's the question.
I mean, if you're in Boulder... Okay, go ahead.
And how do Boulder Denver elites drive their mandated electric cars? One hand on the wheel and the other patting themselves on the back.
Okay. I'd like to discuss that editorial cartoon I sent to you last week. The picture of the guy, the cartoon of the guy standing there at the charging station with his electric car in California, where the power was shut off.
What was it? Welcome to California, where we mandate you drive electric cars and then we turn the electricity off.
Something like that.
Yep, there you go. So, okay, a couple of other things. We had Justin Folk on yesterday. He is the director of this really, really important movie, and that is No Safe Spaces. I haven't checked yet. Tickets were not ready yesterday to purchase, but I'll check that in just a moment. But No Safe Spaces, it will be screening November 1st at the Highlands Ranch AMC 24. Get your tickets. If they have a great turnout, they'll get more screenings at different movie theaters. And it is starring Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager, and then there's a whole bunch of other people like Jordan Peterson, a whole bunch of folks on there, but it's called No Safe Spaces. So that is really important to support that. We need to do something every day for freedom. And one of the things here is you can go to a great movie, have some popcorn, you know, have a soda, and that would be just great. One other thing we talk about, if you need a reason to vote no on Proposition CC, we have hundreds of millions of reasons, all related to corporate welfare. If the state needs more money, why are tax incentives and credits and grants given to corporations? Now, according to Good Jobs First, we are now 14 days into this. The Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade through the Enterprise Zone offered 39 awards as tax credit rebates in the years 2011 to 2017 to Occidental Petroleum and subsidiaries, including the recent purchase of Anadarko Petroleum. They're engaged in hydrocarbon exploration in the United States, the Middle East, and Colombia. And they also have a petrochemical manufacturing here as well. They have a market cap of $75.39 billion, and Colorado gave them just a little over $11 million. And please note that Occidental Petroleum and other companies that we're discussing are successful companies. We believe in free and fair trade. Our point is that these companies do not need government money to maintain their success. We believe the free market should stand alone without any government interference. It's better to cut taxes across the board, cut regulations across the board without any preferential treatment for chosen companies that allows government to pick winners and losers. Adding to our previous total, the amount is $214 million that has gone to corporate welfare here in Colorado. So the question on the table is, why on earth are PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties so interested in getting to convince you on Prop CC to give up your Tabor tax refunds forever, if over here they are giving away this much money? So there's a no on Prop CC. We have 214 million reasons why. And now on the line with us is Natalie Minton. Natalie, we are talking about exposing what's been going on with building a better Colorado. We all want a better Colorado, but instead of government doing that, I think maybe the tagline should be that we want to build better Coloradans. But what we are seeing with this is kind of a manipulated movement, and I think that Tabor and Gallagher are in the crosshairs in 2020. Tell me what your experience is with building a better Colorado.
Well, I've known about building a better Colorado, and I'm going to slip in once in a while, BBCO,
okay.
Building a Better Colorado, because it's after you've talked about them so many years, it's easier with acronyms. I've known about BBCO, or Building a Better Colorado, for several years now. This started in, I'm going back, I didn't make notes on this, but 2014, 2015.
I remember it because I was on city council at that time, and that's about right.
Okay. So at that time, what they were doing was hosting really more of a public meeting, although there were specific people invited to come to these forums. And during that time, what they wanted to do was go after the taxpayers' Bill of Rights for one, but also limit our right to petition government. And for me, I found that very offensive. So I was not one of the ones that was on the invite list. I more had to invite myself to those meetings. Moving forward.
And you are an elected official, so you should be able to go to these meetings. So,
well, even as a citizen, I should be able to, because that's what it was supposed to be about, right? Was
right.
Getting, you know, civic engagement from those involved in the activity. So even when I don't wear my elected official hat, I'm involved in the local community, you know, like you, Kim, mm-hmm. 8 to 10 hours a day on your light days.
Right.
You know, the rest are 14, 15, 16. So I believe at that time, the intent, one of the main core purposes of Building a Better Colorado was to eliminate our taxpayers' Bill of Rights. What came out of that 2014-2015 era was a couple items, public policy pieces, that sought to make government more powerful and citizens less, have less power, less control, less oversight over their government. And so they were successful. Then moving forward, the recent meetings they held in this year, 2019, they figured out from that 2014-2015 era that there were too many people getting into these meetings who held a different opinion than what they wanted on their final report. And so they closed off these meetings and, in fact, only invited what they called thought leaders. And while that may sound impressive to some people, I found it to be very offensive. That meant there were certain people in the community, we wanted their thought. We wanted to perhaps train them, this is what BBCO is saying, to be our little mouthpieces and go to the community and share this predetermined message. And what has been consistent in 2014, 2015, and now 2019 is getting rid of the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. So they have been setting up this organization now for several years. They probably have substantial lists, and we all know the power of having lists, mm-hmm. And being able to share a message. That's a starter I want to know about Building a Better Colorado, or BBCO. And I have many, many other audio files and documentation, just because they've got a lot of money. They've got the time, money, and therefore the paid people to be working on these things that are really anti-citizen year in and year out.
Well, and Natalie, on this, so I went to one of the meetings, and again, first of all, the first meeting was where they sat down and they had you give contacts, people that that you thought should be invited to the conversation meeting, so that, you know, they're gleaning all that, you know, names, emails, and phone numbers. And then people are invited into that. But what they said, that it's nonpartisan and they will not take a stand on an issue. But then it was so interesting to see that actually they gave that whole contact list to the pro-Prop CC people now. And if you did not want to have your name given to the Prop CC people, the pro-Prop CC people, you had to opt out. I know that the No on CC folks reached out to them to say, hey, how about, can we give our information out as well to that group? And they said, well, from what, you know, the results of our reports show that so many people were for Prop CC that it just wouldn't make any sense to, you know, give that list to the No on CC. And so that's why we think it is really important, and that why we are doing this is because if we can tap down Prop CC this year, that will be a big success, and it's going to be nip and tuck to make that happen. But bear in mind, next year, 2020, they've got the whole Taxpayer Bill of Rights in their crosshairs, as well as I think they'd like to get rid of the Gallagher Amendment, which keeps our property taxes in check as well. And so every morning we are going to be shedding light on this from now until Election Day. Natalie Minton, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we have Chad Fortham in the studio. He is the top person with Colorado Farm Bureau, and he sees Prop DD a different way than I do, so it promises to be a great conversation. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and just really pleased to have in studio with me Chad Vortham. It's Vorthman, right?
Vorthman.
Sorry about that. And you're the executive director of Colorado Farm Bureau. And there's two big issues on the ballot this year on a statewide basis, and that is Prop CC, which we just talked about. I'm a strong no on that. And I'm a no on Prop DD as well, but Colorado Farm Bureau is a yes. So tell me why.
Yeah, we are. So Prop DD would regulate and enforce sports gaming. It would also help fund our state's water plan through the revenue it creates through a 10% tax on casinos. Colorado Farm Bureau is in favor, and yeah, I appreciate you called me the top cheese at Farm Bureau, but I'm really not the top cheese. I'm the leader of our staff. Our top cheese are our farmer and rancher members. That's my board of directors. Like, those guys are the grassroots, and those are the folks that have been on our family farms for generations, and they're looking to future generations, and they see that we need to fund water infrastructure in our state. Our state's expected to double our population by 2060. If we don't do things about infrastructure like our roads, like our water infrastructure, we're going to have bigger problems, and it really brings down the quality of life for the people that live here already. Mm-hmm. We're not going to stop people from coming into Colorado, and we really see water as one of those crucial points to growing our state.
Well, and Chad, I'm a farm kid, and I know how important water is. And as I've been looking at this issue, I think there's just tremendous frustration by our farmers and our ranchers that nothing has been accomplished. The water plan was done a few years ago, but nothing has been accomplished on that.
Certainly. And I don't think it's just farmers and ranchers. I think you're seeing it from municipal users. You're seeing it from industrial users. You're seeing it from home developers as well. The pressure that's being put on our entire water system. The last thing that we want to see from an agricultural perspective, from farmer and rancher perspective, is buy and dry. We've seen what happens when cities come and gobble up water for their growth purposes in places like the lower Arkansas, where it dries up communities. Irrigated agriculture is one of the things that really keeps our rural communities thriving. Mm-hmm. And so we see that as something that is very, very important. But it's not just us. It's all water users across our state. The state water plan identified gaps in the municipal supply and industrial supply and agricultural supply. So we need to start funding the water plan somehow. They also identified a goal of trying to set $100 million aside to fund the water plan. Hopefully Prop DD, if it passes, will get us partway there with the expected revenue of up to $29 million a year.
Well, I think we are in total agreement. We need to do something about water. I think water and Prop D and sports betting should be two separate issues. So there's that issue over there, and then there's water. And I understand why Farm Bureau has come out in favor of Prop DD, because there's just this tremendous frustration. And so I think that what has happened, though, I think PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, they kind of do a bait and switch. And you know, again, I think, you know, people want to do something about water, but what I'm concerned about is the money. And they say that there's going to be money there. But on Prop DD, first of all, it's 37 pages long. And I've always just kind of made a rule that never vote for anything that's longer than the Declaration of Independence. I just don't think that's a good idea. But the other thing, and this is what I find so frustrating, is there are nine entities in front of the water, what do they call it? The water commission or whatever it is. So this is what happens on Prop DD. These are all the people in line for money before it gets to where they say it's going to go to. It pays for the commissions, the startup costs for the sports betting, pays all their ongoing expenses, cars, you know, car allowance, all that kind of stuff, transfers an amount of equal to 6% of sports betting tax revenues to a wagering recipient's hold harmless fund, pays the state historical fund any loss of revenue that they can demonstrate that's attributable to sports betting. And that goes to these next things as well. It pays colleges. Then it pays the cities of Central, Blackhawk, and Cripple Creek. Then it pays the counties of Gilpin and Teller. Pays any other people that benefit from purse funds. And it pays $130,000 to the Office of Behavioral Health and Department. And then finally, it goes to the Water Plan Implementation Cash Fund. And so I just don't trust them.
And so we have heard that argument, those concerns, that it goes to those places first. But when you look at the true dollar amount, 93% of that money goes to the water plant. So the vast majority of it, even though there's others, quote, in line first, the majority of the money does go towards our water plan. And it goes specifically into a fund called the Water Plan Implementation Cash Fund that's set up in the long bill. And it is a long document because there are a lot of things that go into it. Everything from how to regulate, who regulates. What we really see this as a win is it's going to not only fund our state water plan, but it's going to help push back on the black market of illegal sports betting. It's estimated across the nation that there's over $100 billion annually spent in illegal sports betting. Decades ago, Congress gave Las Vegas an effective monopoly on sports betting. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court ruled last year that monopoly was no longer valid. Since then, 15 states have legalized sports betting, and we think that we should be another one. On the argument of sports betting and water not being tied together, gambling and some of the things it funds have not been tied together either. 30 years ago, we approved gambling in the state of Colorado that legalized casinos in Blackhawk, in our traditional gambling towns, Blackhawk, Central City, Cripple mm-hmm. Creek. Those monies went towards the local communities, first and foremost, but it also went towards State Historical Fund. It went towards funding junior colleges. I mean, there's no connection between junior colleges and gambling. I don't see that this is anything different, but it does go to fund critical water infrastructure in our state.
So a couple of things on that. First of all, in the act that would be backing up Prop DD, it picks winners and losers. So it says that there will only be certain corporations that have master licenses that get to do this. And so when you look at the money coming in on Prop DD, there is a ton of gambling money that's coming in to try to push that forward. And I think that we need to have this legislature and governor, and not just this one, but it's been for a while, we've not done the things that we need to do for water. Now, I did look at the water plan. Isn't it like about $2.2 billion that they, if I remember right?
Yeah, I think over the complete cycle. But it's looking at our water across the, you know, entire uses of the entire state, everything from industrial to residential to agriculture. And it is a very big, comprehensive plan, but it was something that I would say that from a Farm Bureau perspective, we looked at with a little bit of a squinting eye when they were putting it together, that we were concerned about it. It set some lofty goals, but it didn't cuff anyone on this is how we exactly have to get mm-hmm. there. But it also brought forward important points that we have been talking about. We need more water storage in the state.
We do.
One of the things I heard yesterday, the Interim Water Committee was meeting, and they were talking about when we see peak river flows. And we're seeing peak river flows earlier and earlier in the season. Not a comment on climate change or anything like that, but it's a fact. We're seeing them earlier. Our water infrastructure was built 100 to 150 years ago, and it was built off of peak water flows being later in the season. We need to capture more of that water early if we want to capitalize on it as a state.
And there is a way to do that, because I know that the other states down the river, they also, you know, water's important to them. But it seems like in times where we're having, you know, more water, if we can store that and also send water down the river, then everybody could win. The one thing that I quickly looked at the water plan is I think there's over 400 and some million, almost $500 million just to environmental studies. And, you know, that's one of the things that really slows all this down is all this environmental stuff. And, you know, as farmers and ranchers, in fact, I should probably give you the quote that I think that I have at the end. I was looking at all these farmer quotes today for since you were in the studio here. And I don't see it here, Steve. I'll have to check and see where that's. Anyway, you know, farming and ranching is so important. It's so inherent. You know, people think that the food just shows up at the grocery store, but somebody had to raise that.
Yeah.
And you need water to do that. And farmers are such great stewards of the land and what that they pass on to others and also to the next generation.
Yeah, and you mentioned those environmental studies. That's something our folks see firsthand for every day. You know, food grows where water flows. We always throw out that quote because it is absolutely true. Irrigated agriculture is twice as productive as dry land in our state. We're a, you know, semi-arid environment. But when we look at water, there needs to be an impetus across really voters and legislators. Every citizen across our state needs to be concerned about our water future because when you look at water in the West, Colorado is really unique. We are a headwater state, and we are a true, true headwater state. Nearly all of the water that there, or all the snow that falls in the mountains runs out of our state. If you compare us to another state that's a true headwater state, you'd have to compare us to Hawaii. So think about it in that kind of perspective. If we're not capturing it, if we're not storing it, be it in a reservoir or underground, we're losing out because it's just going to go downstream. And we feed 18 other states. We feed Mexico water. But if our population is going to keep growing like it does, we have to do something.
We have to do something. So we totally agree on that, Chad Vorthman. But I think we're just maybe disagree on how to do that exactly. I don't really trust those folks down there at the State House on this. I think that what they're doing is putting their hands together, saying, hey, we can actually tax a whole bunch on this. And ostensibly, it might be because some people think that gambling is bad. It's a sin tax. But we have to be really careful about PBIs are choosing one industry to tax significantly and not another. We make better decisions when we are spreading our taxes broadly and everybody has some skin in the game. So, Chad Vorthman, it's just great to have you here. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
We'll see. Cheers. So we'll find out in a few days how we did, you know, on what the election is on that. Jason McBride is on the line with us. Jason, Presidential Wealth Management, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing great. How about that snow? It looks pretty outside.
It is absolutely gorgeous. And the roads are not as bad as one would think.
Well, when you're driving in at 3 in the morning, maybe not.
not quite. Actually, Chad Vorthman beat me in here this morning. So
did he?
Yes. Yes,
I'll
he did.
Steve let you have it about that, didn't he?
He did. He did. Yeah. He always does. So.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about Roth IRAs. Is there anything else that folks need to know about that right now?
Well, there's all kinds of, I think, great advantages to Roths. As I always say, Kim, I think they're one of the best tax breaks that Congress accidentally gave us without knowing what they were doing. And one thing that I find people get confused about or don't think about as much is that besides doing a Roth IRA, a lot of times a company plan will have a Roth option on the 401k, Kim, where you could put in your contributions to your 401k to the Roth side. Now, a couple advantages to that. One with a Roth IRA, if you're a higher income person or family, you may be precluded from making that $6,000 or $7,000 a year contribution to a Roth IRA. However, the Roth 401k doesn't have that income limit restriction. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You can contribute the maximum to your Roth 401k, which is $19,000 a year, Plus, if you're over, you know, age 50, you can do a catch-up contribution of $6,000. So think about that, Kim. If you've got a family where both people are working, you've got your kids out of the house, your expenses really aren't extremely high at this point, you could afford to maybe sock away $50,000 a year into a Roth wrapper.
Okay. Now, what about these contributions? These would need to be made by the end of the year, yes, as well?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Just like it is with the contributions you put into your 401k now.
Okay. So now we are coming near November 1st is just right around the corner.
Sure is.
You know, and Christmas is going to be here. And so if you're going to, you know, do your year-end planning, be smart and start it early. And so give Jace McBride a call over at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. You'll sit down, you'll do a discovery session. Those things don't cost any money, do they?
No. The initial discovery session is complimentary.
And I know, Jason, if people are in a good spot, you're like, great, congratulations. But if there's things that they can do to optimize their economic well-being, you and your team over there at Presidential can help folks do that.
Yes, we can help. And, Kim, this is a little bit off the path we were talking. You know, I just discovered that I have a few of these Stock Traders Almanacs left over from the event that we did at Water's Edge Winery, and I'd just as soon give those away to people than have them sitting on my desk. So if you're interested in getting your free copy of the Stock Traders Almanac, you can call us at 303-694-1600, or there's a spot on our landing page, Kim, at airpresidential.com that you can just request a copy there. And again, I'd just soon give them away because I don't need 10 extra ones sitting on my desk. I could barely read one.
So the first, and they all say the same thing, right? So
yeah.
You don't need 10. So the first 10 people that reach out, you will get that copy to them. I have mine and I really appreciate it. So Jason McBride, thank you so much. We will talk to you tomorrow. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we have Michelle Smith on the line. This is our health and hydrocarbon show. It's brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. And actually, hydrocarbons make our lives much better. And we're going to talk about many of the different products out there that do that. So this is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation with Michelle Smith. She is on the board of Vital for Colorado, and I just found out you're also on the board of Colorado Farm Bureau as well, Michelle.
No, I'm not, that I know of, unless that's a new surprise.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I guess I got mixed up then. I thought Chad Vorthman said that he knew you, so I stand correct.
Does.
I stand corrected on that. So I apologize on that. But you are a busy woman. And I really appreciate you coming on, because I was looking at some of the pictures from these climate protests across the globe a week or so ago. And here's all these young people that are clothed in clothing that has petroleum product or, you know, from hydrocarbons. You know, they have their cell phones, tennis shoes, bicycle tires, all these things that make our lives better. And I was just astounded to watch them basically protest something that has brought more people out of poverty and made people's lives better. And so I thought, let's have a conversation about that, Michelle, because I know that's near and dear to your heart.
It is. And, you know, I just, first I'd like to start and say thanks, Kim, for having me on. I'm very passionate about our way of life. I believe that we live in the greatest country in the world. And actually, that is made possible because fossil fuels are the foundation of our economy, and they have created and sustained this wonderful life that we have. And, you know, these kids that are protesting, they are well-meaning and well-intentioned. But, you know, I have to be a little honest. I'm a little offended that they stand up there and say that basically we're evil and we are destroying the world, and that if we don't stop fossil fuels within 8 years, you know, we're done, we're over. And when, again, what I just said, our modern-day living, everything we touch, over 90% of everything we touch today contains petroleum byproducts or is manufactured in a facility that is, powered by fossil fuels. And so we hear their voices, and, you know, it's interesting on that climate strike that just happened, on September 20th, over 4 million people showed up, to protest, largest in history. We hear their voices, but where is their answer?
And, you know, what has happened is, I was listening to one of the other talk show hosts, and he said that this generation has been told that that the planet is going to, you know, burn up in 8 or 12 years, which I take issue with that, because you've always had doomsdayers that say that. But I guess these kids, if they really believe that and they have been taught that, then you could see why they are protesting, because they don't want that to happen. But I think that that's all built on a big lie. And, you know, it really concerns me. And in fact, if these people that are teaching our kids this were really serious about this, then they would no longer drive around in cars. They would no longer ride around on bicycles that have bicycle tires that are petroleum-based. I think it's really more about kind of controlling an economy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And because, you know, we are the world leader in the world, our economy is. And if our economy goes, the whole economy goes. I did some research on the New Green Deal. And, you know, the New Green Deal, to comply with that by about 2040, if we went, you know, tried to go carbonless by that time, or, you know, zero emissions, I don't know how you do that, but that seems to be the lofty goal. By 2040, it would cost anywhere between $40 to $98 trillion. It would cost the average household, a family of four, $8,000 a year, or $165,000. And the thing is, even if we did that and made that sacrifice, you know, it would have a net effect by the end of the century of a 0.2 degree difference in carbon dioxide in emissions. So it really wouldn't even change anything. I'm a firm believer that climate changes and we are in a warming cycle. But again, what concerns me is this alarmism that we are going to destroy the world in the next 20 years, whereas, you know, I don't believe that's true. And Americans are smart. You know, not very long ago, they said we were going to run out of oil. And look what happened with the shale revolution. We're now number one in the world for leading the world producing oil and gas. So we are smart. We're innovative. We're going to come up with something that will eventually replace fossil fuels. But we cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater until that happens, or it will entirely send the whole world into a huge depression.
Well, you know, and a couple of things on that. First of all, we need to have an intellectually honest conversation about what they say carbonless. I've done additional research. You know, we've seen this push here from this Colorado legislature and governor to push people into what they're calling zero-emission vehicles, ZEVs, or LEVs, low-emission vehicles. But there's not an honest conversation about that because they do not talk about the whole production of those particular cars. We haven't even talked about what to do with those huge car batteries, you know, what the environmental impact will be on that. And these batteries, we don't talk about the mining in third world countries for rare earth minerals that go into these batteries. And so we need to have an honest conversation about this and an intellectually honest conversation about this instead of this alarmism that we're seeing just really pushed onto our children now.
I agree. And look what's happening in California with the rolling blackouts. You know, they can't they can't charge their electric cars. My sister who lives in California told me a story the other day. She saw police chase, and the police car, it was an electric car, and it ran out of battery and died in the middle of the street, in the middle of the police chase. And there's no backup to that. Your battery's dead, your battery's dead. So, you know, and when you think about also, you know, the research, some research I did, and this is sort of an old statistic, but it's the only one I could find. In 2005, 71% of Americans did not know that plastic was a petroleum byproduct. Electric cars are still primarily made out of plastics. They contain a great amount of plastic. And so what are we going to replace plastics? Over 6,000 products we use every single day. What are we going to replace that with? We need to come up with that technology before we can move away from those, you know, from what we use.
Right. So, yeah, so there, what you're saying is there is no solution to this, and there's no better product.
Right.
And, you know, another thing, we're going to go to break, Michelle, but if, in fact, again, people were really serious that this was such a significant problem, before you try to shut down the U.S. economy, which, you know, again, we talk about how fossil fuels bring more and more people out of poverty. But if, in fact, we want to get really serious about our air, we need to start to look at China and India, which are huge polluters. And so if we're going to be honest about it, let's go there first. And then we can come back to America. So once again, I think that this is more about taking America down than actually about the climate. So Michelle Smith, it's so great to have you on the line. And I've got this website. It's a Rankin Energy Corporation, and they have like just 600 products that make our lives better because of fossil fuels. So let's go to break. Michelle Smith, stay on the line. This is Kim Munson. We're going to continue our conversation.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You only have a few days left for three scary movies under the stars. The 88 Drive-In Theater will close for the season Thursday, October 24th. So get there now. Open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. See an independent film that takes place in a drive-in theater. 47 hours, rated R, followed by Joker and Rambo Last Blood. Admission is only $9 per person and includes all three features. Get directions now at 88drivein.net.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation with Michelle Smith. She is on the board of Vital for Colorado. And Chad Vorthman texted me. He said, you're a member of Colorado Farm Bureau. So we always like to get everything right. And
Good.
So wanted to clear that up. But Michelle, there are so many products that come from oil and gas, like eyeglasses and safety glasses, our telephones, cameras, drinking cups. Oh, it says here, artificial limbs, sunglasses. I mean, just all kinds of things. And it's just astonishing to me that there is such a movement to try to shut down the fossil fuel industry, particularly here in Colorado. But we, when we went to break, we were I just mentioned the two of the big polluters that seem to be getting a pass, and that is China and India. So what do you think about that?
I think you're absolutely right. But that's a difficult subject because we you know, I don't know exactly how we can solve that problem, but that is a very real, huge part of the problem. We have, you know, come a long ways in our country of reducing our emissions. Even in Colorado, we have the strictest regulations for oil and gas in the country. And the other day, my grandson and I were driving to town from Franktown, and you could see all the way downtown. And I told him, I said, Elijah, you know what? When I moved here, you couldn't see downtown because of the brown cloud. And, you know, I do believe we've done a lot to clean up our air. Colorado is consistently in the top 10 healthiest states in the nation. But China, we are, those emissions from China and India and those other countries come into our country. It is a huge problem. I totally agree with you. We need to look to that first. But there are a few things we can do here at home, I think, to start helping with the issues of emissions while we're, you know, leaving it to the bigger guys to take care of those issues.
And what are some of those things that you think we can do here?
Well, I was laying in bed the other night thinking about what can we practically do. You know, you have to give it to Miss Greta Thunberg, who is leading this climate strike movement, at least to the best of her ability. She is trying, with what she knows, to walk her talk. She feels that by coming across country in a bus or a train emits less emissions than an airplane. Her, did you know that her mom is an international opera singer?
I did not know that.
Yeah, she's trying to get her mom to curtail or maybe even quit her career so that she doesn't have to fly internationally. Now, that's her and that's her passion. I think that's a bit extreme. I don't know if that provides her living or not.
See, that's just what I was thinking. So she actually would encourage her mother to quit her successful job in climate because she's concerned about climate change. I mean, if you don't have a job and you don't have food on the table, you don't survive for very long.
Exactly. And that's what's ironic about this youth movement is it's easy in a sense. Yes, I agree. They are scared, but they're not the ones paying the bills. And so, you know, the parents are. So it's easy for them to show up and protest, get driven there, a lot of them, by mom and dad or a school bus. But they're not the ones paying the bills. But one thing I was thinking about the other night when I was laying in bed is, you know, we all love Amazon and Amazon Prime. In 2017, they shipped 5 billion packages worldwide. And 51% of the U.S. population has a Prime membership, and out of that, 46% order at least once a week. That's a huge carbon footprint with all the plane miles and with all the car miles driven. Now, my husband and I, we live on a mom-and-pop farm out in Elbert County and half hour from the closest grocery store, so we try to make our trips count. So I was thinking, well, how can we as Americans, because we love American Prime, Amazon Prime. I'm calling it American Prime. We can be more purposeful with our spending dollars. We can make a list, a grocery list, and instead of getting on, it's so easy to get on today and do a one click. My mom's visiting. She wanted some markers without even thinking about it. I ordered some markers. They showed up in 2 days on my doorstep. They drove all the way out here to deliver a package of markers. So we can do better, each one of us, half of Americans, by bundling or purchasing, because, you know, if it comes from the same warehouse from Prime, it'll come in the same box. That seems small, but maybe that could have, you know, things like that, some impact of while we're looking at the bigger issues that absolutely need to be resolved. But we eat meat. Each need to start doing our own part here, too. Recycle more the plastics. So that's what I was thinking about the Amazon Prime. And that, you know, Amazon's just growing by leaps and bounds because it's so convenient. We're so busy in our everyday lifestyles. But that would reduce the vehicle miles driven some.
Well, and I think the, and you know, I think that each of us can do something consciously. So I've been I recycle. I'm a really good recycler, and but it takes, you know, it takes effort to do that. And I was actually, if you go up to a college campus when the kids move out at the end of the season, it's kind of astonishing to me. Even though these kids have been fed, you know, all of this whole climate change narrative. And you know, they actually, you know, it seems like everybody wants to control somebody else's recycling. You need to do this or whatever. Yeah. But when you go to a college campus at the end of the season, you see all kinds of just people not taking care of being good stewards of their dorm rooms, of what they're throwing away. And it's kind of like not walking the talk. And I think that actually deep down, I think a lot of people realize that this climate change narrative, that I agree with you, the climate does change, but the whole man-made component of it, if we are serious about it, if really it is that serious, then instead of trying to shut down the American economy, they should be doing something about China and India. And so on that, I'm kind of thinking they're not really walking their talk, Michelle.
I agree. I totally agree with you, Kim. And people get frustrated when you mention that because, you know, I don't know, they want immediate action here. But, wow, we live in the best time of history. We don't want to go back to the 1800s. We don't want to ruin our economy. We need a scientific, economic solution to move forward. And that doesn't happen overnight.
Well, for sure. And this last weekend, Michelle, my furnace wasn't working. And so it's starting to get colder. And the technicians were so busy. I actually was out, did not have heat for about 3 days. So the house was getting colder and colder. And then my husband turned off the water because he was doing something. So I didn't have heat. I didn't have water. And if I wouldn't have had electricity, I mean, I would have been back to third world country. And I thought it's you know, we're so close here to you know, all the great benefits that we have, but you start turning those things off, like out in California, these rolling blackouts, it starts to affect your quality of life.
Absolutely, it affects our quality of life. And unfortunately, Kim, we take these things for granted, and we shouldn't. Because if we lose them, I can't imagine the regret we would feel, because we do live in the greatest time in history. We are amazingly blessed. We support, our church supports a missionary family, young couple in Zambia that was part of our church, and they came and gave a presentation a week or so ago. Their power in their village is hydro, and they're in a severe drought. So 12 hours a day, they have no power. So picture Megan out there cooking over an open fire. Because that's all she has. And you know what? That's a big reality check. That's how a lot of the world lives. We don't live like that in this country. We are incredibly, amazingly blessed because of fossil fuels.
So, Michelle, we need to be good stewards. We agree. You know, we had Chad Vorthman on earlier with Colorado Farm Bureau. Farmers and ranchers are good stewards of the land, and they raise, you know, they raised food that feeds, can feed the world. I mean, the American farmer, it is amazing how, you know, just how effective they are in feeding the world. And then we take that for granted. And here we have now, under this narrative of climate change, trying to shut down all these things that have made life better for so many people. It seems to me like we would want to say we want to continue to be good stewards of this earth that we have, and we want to help more and more people get out of poverty, and fossil fuels and hydrocarbons do that.
They absolutely do that. That is the only way you can get lifted out of poverty is reliable, affordable energy. If you're thinking every day, I have to go get some source of fuel for a fire so I can cook for my family and haul water. That's all you can think about is body and soul, just keeping you alive another day. You can't think about, can I send my kids to school? Could I, you know, get a job? Can I start a job? Could I maybe have a higher education? All those things can't come. You cannot lift yourself out of poverty without
reliable energy. And I believe it is our obligation, being so incredibly blessed in this country, to help those around the world. We have a moral obligation, I believe, to do that. And we can do that.
And we can do that. And so instead of bringing people down, let's do what we can to lift them up. And the climate does change. We agree. I had gone out to see, we're talking about water, the Reuter-Hess, the new reservoir that's out in Douglas County. And as we were driving by, I said, what's that? He said, oh, those are fossilized palm trees. And so at some point in time, out in that area, it was a tropical forest. And then we you can go to, up to, you know, the foothills here, and, you know, we have dinosaurs, and we have, and then we have, you know, woolly mammoths that, you know, we find, you know, their bones of that. And so at that time, we had an ice age. So the climate does change, but right here in Colorado, it had been a tropical forest, and it had also been an ice age. And so I think it's actually kind of arrogant that we think as mankind that we can actually affect the climate. I think that it's a little bit bigger than us myself. So final thought, Michelle, we're just about out of time.
Let's focus on the positive, Kim. Let's talk about the positive benefits of fossil fuels, because we hear so much negativity in the media today. And let's spread the good news. Let's make people realize again to be thankful. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? Like you just said, heat, whatever else, the water, the simple things in life that we take for granted every single day, made possible by fossil fuels.
Well, that's for sure. Michelle Smith, thank you so much. This was our Health and Hydrocarbon Show, brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. Our quote for today is from Wendell Berry, bringing it to the table on farming and food. He said, good farmers who take seriously their duties as stewards of creation, and if their lands and heritages contribute to the welfare of society in more ways than society usually acknowledges or even knows. These farmers produce valuable goods, of course, but they also conserve soil, they conserve water, they conserve wildlife, they conserve open space, and they conserve scenery. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.